Don't you remember what your mama told you about girls?
I remember, Mama.
There was someone else at Lawson's Creek this morning.
Really?
We looked for carfish together. Her name's Vicky.
I don't ever want you associating with little girls.
Why not, Mama?
Because little girls are the devil.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, it's Kevin Nealon, and you're listening to the Homie Broadcast. Yeah.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Contract, kindly produce a sound. Go on, don't be nervous. Go ahead. Any sound? Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio, on RadioSt.Pete.com. My name is Will Kuntz. So happy to be with you again. It seems so soon that I talk to you, doesn't it? I feel like I hear you all the time. Well, guess what, jerk? That's what it's like being in my head every day. I have to listen to myself all the time. At least you have the luxury of turning it off if you don't like it. That's the last taboo, isn't it, folks? Attacking your audience. That's what we need to be doing. That's the last taboo in comedy and jest and fun. Anywho, yes, my name is Will Kuntz. Welcome to another edition of The Homemade Broadcast, heard exclusively here on Radio St. Pete and podcast, of course, at hmbradio.com. Make sure you keep up with the show at facebook.com/HMB Radio, where you can get more local podcasts, such as my mom's favorite podcast from James Bailey. We got the new Wove Sessions podcast that happens once a month. More in the works, so I hear. I saw Kyle Roos last week at the Yard of Ale Mike, and he's amped to get his podcast started. When that will happen, I have no idea. He is a busy guy, though, in his defense, so I can't be too mad at him. But so we got more stuff coming. Supposedly, we shall see. I believe that we will at some point. I think the Dallas Cowboys podcast is kaput. I think even at this point, even if they wanted to come back and say, yeah, we finally got an episode done, I'd be like, no. Because you have to have some sort of consistency, right? And it's officially 6 months since their last podcast. So they were a one and done. It was a great podcast, by the way. I really enjoyed it. They did a great job with theirs. But you have to have some sort of consistency, right? If they were like, hey, we're going to put out one every 6 months at the beginning, I would have been like, okay, all right. But I was picturing more like maybe once a month. I didn't think that was too unreasonable. I know those guys, they had some deal with a producer. They were going to work on a pilot for a TV show, and then I guess that fell through. It seemed too good to be true. I was very excited for them, but also, you know the old saying, when something seems too good to be true, probably is. That's what the case was. So they worked really hard. They wrote a pilot. And then when it was go time, the guy said, I can't. I don't really have the authority for this after all, like I thought I did. So they kind of got screwed there. But I know Joey, he did the records all the stuff and for Wove Sessions and edits everything. And I know he also has two jobs. I get it, man. It's tough out there. It's really hard following your dreams and living. I mean, that's a luxury now. I'm in a situation, luckily with me, I was thinking about how blessed I really am to be able to do what I'm doing and then have the time to do it. I work for a great company during the day that is really supportive of what I do. And I have enough downtime where I can do HMB radio stuff at work, which is incredible. And then if I need to leave early, hey, I'm leaving early. All right, see you later. So that's really a cool situation to be in. I was talking with my dad before I started recording, and he's trying to start his own business at 56. He doesn't even know how old he is. I thought he was 53. Turns out he's 56, I guess. And he's not sure, and I'm not sure either. But he's getting frustrated with his job. He doesn't have enough time to work on his business, and he's thinking about just quitting his job and focusing 100% on the business. Now, the thing about business, if you've ever owned a business, is that most of them fail. I think it's 7 out of 10. It's not good odds. You play the probabilities. Not a great idea starting your business. So you have to work on both things. You have to work on at your day job, and then you work when you're not working, like I do here and many others do, to build up your business. And as eventually, hopefully, the idea is, I guess when you start making enough money at your side business that you're making at your regular job, then you can think about quitting your job, but you at least have to have your expenses covered. And at 56, like my father is, he probably does have a little bit of a savings, not much, though, I'm sure. And trying to go after a business, he would potentially lose it, likely lose it, if it is 70% failure, which I think it is. And then what are you going to do in 15 years when you're going to retire? I think he'll get Social Security, hopefully, but I mean, it's not that much, right? I don't even know if it's enough to live on. You should have a little bit more than that. I mean, I know my generation, geriatric millennials and millennials in general, probably aren't going to see the Social Security that we're paying into. I don't even want it at this point. I mean, I do. I'm paying into it. I guess I should get it. So it was a crazy idea. It was a good idea, Social Security, to look after our grandparents. But then they started living too long, and now we can't afford it so much. The miracles in medicine, the technology, they did not account for in the extension of life. Now it's not uncommon to live to your 85 years old. Used to be weird. Usually you'd retire, right? And then you live, you're like, okay, I'm retired now. I've been working for 40 years. I don't know what to do with myself in this extra time. I guess I will die now, I guess. And then they probably drop dead. And like remember Joe Paterno, he died like 2 weeks after he retired, although he did have the scandals. Excuse me, I'm still sick a little bit, so I'm trying to edit out the coughs here, turning down my microphone if need be. When I get sick, I'm sick for the long haul. I'll be 90% for 2 months. My left ear is swollen. Inside, I can feel it. It's terrible. So this podcast is brought to you by Sly Bar. Check out the HMB stand-up comedy open mics every second and fourth Tuesday at Sly Bar. They also have a lot of other cool events. Check out slybar.com for more info on that. And they're located at 2061 Central Avenue, right here in St. Petersburg. And also, be sure to check out our newest sponsor, Chrissy Parker and Truvy Salon and Spa. Sorry, missed that one. She's located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, St. Petersburg, Florida. Make an appointment, 727-329-9751. And go to TruvySalonAndSpa.com. She does good work. If I ever get a haircut again, I'm going to make Chrissy do it. I actually did. I said I needed a trim. She's very busy, though. So I said, hey, can you cut my hair? And she said, when? And I said, this weekend. And then she never texted me back. So I'm assuming that means no. But yeah, if I ever do get my hair cut again, which I'm sure I will. Summer's getting longer. Days are getting longer. Sun is getting hotter. And having long hair on the back of your neck at 230 pounds, it's not that great. It's a little warm. So I think it's time. I almost did it last summer, chopping it all off. Oh, there we go. Got that one. Yeah, almost chopped it all off last summer. Bailed at the last minute. I got scared. But I usually go through phases like this. I've had long hair as a teenager, I guess. This doesn't matter. Sorry, this is boring. I came to the conclusion the other day that I am hideous. I say this because you keep up with your ex-girlfriends on social media. So, you know, you just do. It's impossible not to. You're supposed to delete them. You're supposed to not have any interaction with them. But it's hard, and you're curious. So you want to check it out. So, you know, you check out Instagram. That's the newest thing. And I'm looking through just Instagram in general, just scrolling through the feed there. And I keep seeing pictures of exes with their new fellas. And I'm like, why are these girls dating such ugly dudes? And I know I have a bias there. But sorry, they're pretty ugly. I guess this is only two of six or seven, I guess, that I've actually dated for any significant period of time. So I guess it's only two. So maybe it's a little anecdotal there. But then I'm like, oh, they're just in the ugly dudes. So that was a sobering thought, thinking about what I have to offer as a human being. I went and took a bike ride yesterday for that reason. It's hard to find time to exercise, but there really is no excuse. I could get up an hour earlier. Don't really want to do that. Or I could, there's time. Go work out at night then. That's really a bad time to do it. You got to work out in the morning. That's really, if you're going to do it, you have to go for a run in the morning and work out, because that gets your metabolism going. It sets the mood right. You feel better, you look better, just not willing to make that sacrifice yet. Maybe one day. I mean, it's only going to get worse for me. I understand that, and I've accepted it, but it's not too late for me to do something about it. So we shall see. I don't know. But anyways, yeah, I'm ugly, is what I learned. That sucks, but whatever. So today on the program, we have, supposedly, Elijah Henry is coming through. Elijah is a really funny comic. Didn't realize he was as young as he is. I thought he was like 25. I think he's like 20, he said. Really interesting cat. I think he's really funny. Seems like he lacks a lot of confidence, but you wouldn't know it on stage. He's really funny. He's mean, which I like. He's pretty mean on stage, says mean stuff, which is a good time. Always comes really late, though. He shows up at the open mics, and he's the last one to go up when nobody's there to watch him. I wish he would show up earlier so he could actually perform in front of people. But I like him. He's a good guy. He said he's coming. Was very dubious of this, too. First guest who actually asked to listen to old episodes to find out what he was getting into. I said, Elijah, I'm not here to get you, man. Believe me. What could I get you with? I don't even know you. I don't know, maybe he has skeletons in his closet. Maybe I can pry some stuff out of him, some weird stuff that he's into. I don't know. We'll see. All right, so I guess we'll just wait for Elijah. You won't have to wait, though. I record this, hope I'm not blowing the illusion, but I pre-record this, obviously. And coming up, we'll have Tampa Bay comic Elijah Hernandez on the Homemade Broadcast right here on Radio St. Pete. All right, he made it. Elijah Hernandez.
Howdy.
What's going on?
Who says howdy?
Kind of. I do. Oh, I say howdy a lot, yeah. My dad said it growing up, and I kind of caught it from him. And then I was like, that's super lame. I kind of like it now, because I don't know anybody who does say howdy.
That's true. I say it now, like, if my neighbors say, oh, hi, how are you? I hate when people say, how are you? It's like we're passing each other, so I just go with howdy. And I go, howdy, and then I pretend to tip a fake hat.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, it's like you pretend you're in improv, and then people think you're cool.
That's true. People will do that. Hey, how you doing? Good. Thank you. And I feel bad, because I feel like I should ask, how are you?
Yeah, but then
we're passing each other.
We're just passing each other.
I just say good, thanks.
It's painful. Yeah, but then it's like, if you say good, thanks, it's like that, I forget what it's called, but it's like we're just one-upping somebody in conversation.
Almost. Yeah.
We're like, how are you? I'm fine. And just keep walking.
I got the better of that exchange. Thank
you. Exactly.
So Elijah is a comedian.
In the slowest sense of the definition of the word, yes.
You are. You need to come to terms with your job titles and what you're trying to do with your life, I think.
Sure, absolutely.
I think you're in...
That's why you're a podcaster, my friend.
That's right.
And a radio DJ? I don't know if you want to be radio.
Just a podcaster. I did John Jacobs' couch talk a couple days ago.
One of the
questions he had was, what is it like being a well-known podcaster in the area?
And what'd you say? I don't know.
It's a lot like... I said it's a lot like being a normal person.
Yeah.
In fact, it's exactly... like being a
just
normal person.
Just with more technology around you.
Yeah. He was like, nobody recognizes you? Nope. Never been recognized, ever.
It's kind of hard to get recognized nowadays, whatever you do.
It is, especially, I guess people wouldn't know what I look like anyway if they did listen to the show.
Even people who, like, can tweet hello and 60,000 people will see it, you're not going to get recognized on the street. You're going to feel entitled when you get a cup of coffee, but no one's going to recognize you.
Right, right.
It's a false sense of, you know.
Yeah, it's weird out there. Do you do the Twitter thing?
No, I'm a ghost. I just did another friends of our podcast, Mr. Weingarten.
Oh, David, sure, David, yeah.
And I got the end of the podcast. Do you have anything to promote? I was like, no, just here to enjoy myself, I guess.
You're an enigma. You should get a Twitter, though, man. It's important.
I have a Twitter. My Twitter account is my name with the N-word laced through it because I thought that'd be hilarious.
That's pretty funny. I like that. I mean, it's very brave.
It's kind of hard to like pick it out when you like go to spell it, but... And then the Twitter profile picture is just like a screenshot of an adult film star actress with her head cut off. Like, so it just looks
which
like
one? Just
one of those, you know, sad 20-year-olds who wanted to make a couple bucks.
Where did you find the picture? Did you have to Google a name?
I mean, just the internet. You screenshot it and then you just one. I was like, that looks like it enticed people. But it's funny because I did that. Just now I have like. I don't know, like a couple hundred followers are just cam girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're just like, follow me back and go to my website and watch me, you know, on camera.
Yeah, I get a lot of those on Instagram.
Yeah. Because
I think I follow Suicide Girls on there.
Oh, there you go. I remember that when I was like 10.
Yeah.
That was the best, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's still my favorite thing. Oh, it's all pictures of cats.
Oh, they
follow
do
a
cats
lot of cat.
That's good.
Well, it's not Suicide Girls. They're separate. There's actually cats that have accounts.
Oh, man.
And I like to follow them because they're adorable.
I need to get a cat and just upload photos and start making money.
They have way more followers than I do, I'll tell you that
yeah.
much.
Yeah. Well, I was hanging out with another comic, and we were going through his mail, and he had a bill from Tico, and on the back of Tico was like, follow us on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. I'm like, why would I follow Tico on YouTube? So we typed in their thing into the YouTube browser. They had like 157 subscribers, and it's just like videos of that people uploaded of people who work at Tico working on stuff.
I think they do that because I have that written in my book. Who was following Windex on Twitter?
No one.
They have like 300 followers. But I think they have to
that
get...
That makes me feel good about myself.
Me too.
You
me
have
too.
More followers
but
than Windex.
But who cares what Windex
Well, who cares
doing?
What I say?
I would care what you say over what Windex says,
yeah,
that's
Windex
for sure.
Windex doesn't have any terrible jokes or shower thoughts. That
it's just
leave.
You're subscribing to getting commercials in your feed.
Well, that's what Twitter was supposed to be anyway. It's like, you know, even like what... Aziz Ansari has 6 million Twitter followers. He follows nobody and just goes, I'll be at, you know, Pennsylvania theater or whatever, you know.
Right. But usually, like, comedians will put in some jokes here and there.
Right.
You know, I think I was following Brian Regan for a while. I love that
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, he had a couple of good ones.
But his is all just like, I'll be at this place on this day.
Yeah, and then you can interact with fans and whatnot.
I don't even think he really does that, which I guess I get.
That's what they'd say. Is like, oh, it's cool, I could talk to my fans, but, like, what, in 140 characters, you can get called an idiot or whatever?
Yeah, pretty much. I had a Twitter battle. With trying not to get involved.
Ooh, Twitter battle. That's like right up there with Dungeons and Dragons battles.
Yeah, it's really nerdy. But especially, I got upset at myself because I'm fighting with people. I'm looking at their profile. They have a cartoon avatar.
Right.
They have no name.
Right.
No website.
Uh-uh.
They are an anonymous voice.
Yeah.
Yelling at me, calling me an
and
ass.
It's affecting you.
Well, it didn't affect me.
Well, you responded. It affected
I did.
You.
I did respond, but I was having trying to have a conversation with the person, and then they're just like, "You're an ass."
Yeah.
And I was like, other words were used, but
of course
to keep it PG, we'll just go with that.
Yeah, it's.
And I'm like, and that's why I kept telling him. I was like, "Who are you? What are you doing here?
Yeah,
you're not I can't say that
He's
word.
Sitting across from his parents, they're trying to anonymity.
Anonymity.
Anonymity, right?
I don't
anonymous.
Know. I can't.
Anonymous.
I have trouble.
Anonymity.
Yeah.
Well, I'm. Yeah. Weird. I don't barely online. I barely go on Facebook or anything. And I got to tell you, I live a much better life because of it. Because, I mean, 2 years ago, I was on the thing nonstop.
Yeah.
You know, I go to the bathroom for 5 minutes, and it ends up 30 minutes later. I'm going, I just peed. Why did I spend 30 minutes on my phone? And I have that problem now with the Reddit mobile app. And I'm just like, I'm not doing anything. Why don't I just go read a book that I can't finish?
You know? Right. Totally agree with you. And I was thinking about a way to get off of Facebook, but I have to run my
business
page.
Yep.
So you have to have an account to run the page.
Right.
So what I would have to do is make a fake account, nothing on it, make that an admin of the page, and then I could deactivate my account.
I know some people will just do like fan pages where it's like...
Yeah, but you still have to have an account.
You do have to have an account.
You have to have a regular account. And I feel like I fought Facebook for a long time.
I was talking to somebody like the Facebook was on the back of that Tico letter. And I go, we just let this into our lives and everybody's okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it really snuck in out of nowhere over the last 10 years. It has really invaded every part of everybody's lives who's on it at least.
Yeah.
I mean, what, half the world is on it?
Yeah.
We just let it in and we're okay with it. I'm just like, did you sit down and like it? People are like, Facebook's crazy. They always talk about how much they hate it. I'm like, well, then get off of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you wouldn't do something you keep hating. Like, if you're very constipated, you wouldn't keep doing heroin and, like, eating cheese all day long.
You might still do heroin.
But yeah, you kind of move on. You're like, I should probably get my life together and develop a personality that isn't based all online.
Agreed. But I know how to go about it if I want to get off Facebook. I just haven't done it.
Yeah.
Well, so what I'm hooked in.
I just unfollowed everybody. All my friends, I just unfollow them on Facebook so nothing comes up in my news feed. And if I need to find something, I just search it.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. I actually did that recently with people who were posting political stuff.
Yeah.
I found out. I didn't know the unfollow button existed.
Oh,
and that has made my life a lot
better. They make it hard to find.
It's right there. I just didn't realize what it was. It just says unfollow. I was like, I wonder what the hell that is. I didn't know you could actually... Yeah. Unfollow.
Just like stop seeing posts from this person.
You don't have to delete them or anything. You could just let it be.
You'd have to throw your laptop out of a window.
So even with that, even if I delete my page and do a fake page, how am I going to invite people to my events?
I don't know.
I'd have to have a friends list. So that's what I'm saying. I'm stuck.
Yeah, it's weird. I kind of miss. It's funny because if you put out an event on Facebook, you'll get like 17 going, 37 maybes, 20.
Two people show up always.
Yeah, exactly. Two people show up. But I feel like you'd actually get more people showing up if you just like called them and said, hey, tell people to show up to this thing.
Because I can't make a phone call anymore.
You can't. I love a phone call. If somebody calls me, I'm just like, you're a friend now. It's very personal. Yeah.
My dad called me today.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Are you okay? What's going on?"
Is everybody
I haven't
okay?
talked to you in months. I don't need to speak to you.
Oh ever. Man,
like my mom will call me, and that's about it.
Yeah. Well, truthfully, I prefer my parents calling me over texting me because they'll text me and it'll just be like a quick thing. I'm like, we could have got this exchange over in 20 seconds over the phone, and now we do.
Yeah.
Like we went. I guess they visited me like 12 p.m. today, and we went to get some food. And when they left, they forgot something. Instead of just like, I forgot my phone, he just calls me from my mom's phone. It's like, I forgot my phone, I'll come right back. I was like, fine.
Yeah. See, that's okay. That's acceptable. What's even more troubling is when you get a knock at the door. You ever got a knock at your door unexpected?
Unexpected? I think that's awesome. I think that's one of the coolest things ever.
I freaked out.
He thought the police were here. So
I was like, it has to be something that I'm not going to be thrilled about.
Really?
When I answered
what
the
was
door.
It? Pizza? No.
No. I would have been psyched about that.
Yeah, of course.
It was one of I made the mistake of helping the old lady upstairs.
Why is that a mistake?
Build a lamp.
Why is that a mistake?
Because now she wants me to do stuff all the time.
So, well, to help her do stuff. It makes you feel good, doesn't it?
I do.
Yeah.
Well, it makes me feel like, okay, I should do this because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But I really don't want to do it.
Well, what else were you doing?
I was
on Facebook.
Watching TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was watching Netflix.
Do you still have cable?
No, I just got the Netflix.
Right. Netflix, exactly.
So, yeah, you're right. I wasn't doing anything. It's there.
I've been watching it. It's worth watching. I recommend it to anybody who...
I used to watch it when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's like 2 a.m. and you can't fall asleep. It's like, God, this guy is so kind. He just warms
He's a nice
my heart.
Man.
He really is. He's awesome.
But, yeah, it was very troubling to get that knock at the door.
You're friends with your neighbors? You
horrific.
Have a beautiful apartment complex.
I know some of them. They're all pretty wacky people.
Yeah. Well, one of them is a podcaster. So
great. So I'm fitting right in, I guess. Yeah. It's a wacky building. But, yeah, there's some nice people that live here. There's still some people that I have not met, and I've been here over a year. And they just, I see them sometimes. I'm just like,
ooh, yeah, exactly.
I should go.
Some guy in my apartment complex put up a bird feeder, like a complex in the parking lot are like the exact same thing, and he put up a bird feeder outside, and it's just like, okay, now all the birds are pooping on all the cars. I get the birds sound nice when you're at 5 a.m. and you hear the little Coke birds, beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
But, yeah, now I have to wash my car every other day because there's bird poop building up on it.
I got a dog that they just leave outside right in the back.
Yeah.
And it just barks.
Yeah, it just turns into a Brian Regan bit.
Hey, my God.
It's pretty.
I thought about poisoning a dog.
Well, you didn't do it. It's okay to think about it. No thoughts are inherently good or evil until you act on them.
Thought crimes. I guess that's the whole thing behind that.
Oh, right. Like, what other movie was that with Tom Cruise?
Minority Report.
Minority Report.
Yeah, I never saw that. But
well, it's about... I think that was like the... I don't know if it was the original one, but the whole thing is like, if you can see crime before it happens, you should stop.
There's one of my neighbors, I don't know, right there. He just walked by. A little Mexican fella. I've said hello to him before.
I mean, nice.
But that's as far as we get.
Said howdy to him.
Oh, you know what? I think he's Oriental. Or not Oriental.
Should ask him to
Asian.
Help learn, teach you how to cook some meals.
Yeah, that's probably true. He probably does know how to cook.
I'm trying to like increase my cooking repertoire.
Yeah.
Is that French? I don't know.
But it is.
It is cool.
It means repertoire.
There's a bakery down the road from us because we actually live quite close. It's like a mile and a half almost.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, you know what? I need to learn how to bake bread because I've been messing it up a lot. I just want to go to the bakery and be like, can you teach me? Can I intern
Can I have
here?
A job here?
Yeah, can I just work here? I mean, I'm going to try to learn, but I'll probably be bad for a month. So they'll be like, some old Greek lady, sure, I don't care. You know,
you used to be able to do that, like go in and be like, hey, can I have a job here?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, awesome.
Yeah, now it's like, you got to apply online.
Yes.
And have you been to LearnTough at college? And you're like, I've went.
I took a few classes, yes.
Yeah.
I'm just making bread here, guy. Relax. I don't need a college degree. Well, you're very underqualified. Everyone has a bachelor's degree.
I knew. And in liberal arts.
Yes, of course.
You have to live you have to have a useless degree to work at a useless place.
You didn't do the college thing?
I went to college. I went to college here at Hillsborough County for a couple semesters.
HCC?
HCC, baby.
That's right.
And then I went up to Virginia when I spent like 14 months in D.C. And I saw...
VCU?
No, it was NOVA, Northern Virginia Community College.
Oh, okay.
And that was, you know, it was fun. The nice thing about community college is sometimes you get like awesome professors, like, because you can choose your professors, you know. And yeah, sometimes I made some couple of nice friends who are geniuses, you know, seemingly. But
this is the thing about, I think community colleges are kind of looked down upon, but most of the courses are taught by university professors.
Yeah, who are
they
like,
just pick up some extra bucks by
teaching
like a class.
Yeah, they're like adjuncts. I mean, they make less than minimum wage when it comes down to hourly.
Right.
But the ones who do it usually are the ones who like want to be there for the most part. Like my English professor was one of the coolest guys I've ever met in my life. He was smart and kind and nice. He's just all around good guy.
Yeah, I've had some pretty good professors, some bad ones, mostly good.
Yeah. So
I wonder what it's like now, because I'm really glad I'm out of college.
I keep thinking to go back, because I'm like, not even like to achieve a degree, but just to like learn, like what you used to go to college for. Like, I just want to learn stuff.
Yeah, but now you just have the internet. Like, whatever you want to learn about, you can
what Khan Academy is really good for that.
Yep.
And even iTunes has its own university. Isn't that cool?
Is that true?
Yeah, you can just like, there's an app on most iPhones that comes with the iPhone.
And it has a course that you can take?
Well, any courses. Like, I think I was trying to take a course on game theory.
Oh, yeah.
Just because it interests me. But it's like, it comes with stuff. I think you can actually get a degree through it, but I didn't look into it. I'm sorry. I started talking about something I didn't know. I brought up, like, I said, like, a fun fact to my mom at dinner once, and she kept asking me questions about it. And I was like, I looked at her, Mom, the more questions you ask about this, the less informed I'm going to sound.
Sometimes I try to learn stuff, and then I'm trying to, it's
great
hard
sentence.
To get a sponge, like, retain the knowledge.
Right.
I'll watch something.
Right.
Because I think I am pretty dumb, but I'm not super dumb.
Right.
So when I have to go back and explain what I learned, that's when I have the problem.
Oh, like retaining and regurgitating.
And regurgitating it back out.
I know my friend, he was complaining to me about college because he's like just going through the whole thing that every other 20-year-old goes through. Like, I don't know what I'm doing in college and blah, blah, blah. And he was saying, yeah, I'll just crank out one of those essays, you know, the night before. And he's like, and I'm not learning anything. And I'm like, well, I gave you 2 weeks to do it. If you put the 2 weeks into it, you might get 2 weeks worth of knowledge out of it.
Right.
You know, but like a lot of people just, how many degrees have been earned on marijuana and Adderall? You know what I mean?
A lot.
A lot of them.
You shouldn't go to college, I don't think, when you're 20 years old.
Well, you shouldn't go to college if you don't know why you're going. If you're just going to go, you shouldn't do anything just to do it. That's not true. I shouldn't speak in superlatives.
Well, if you have an idea, I guess you should go. But I always use my friend Caitlin as an example. She's a lawyer now.
Yeah.
She knew she wanted to be a lawyer.
Right.
Now she's a lawyer.
Right.
She doesn't want to be a lawyer
anymore. Yeah, that was on an episode of Horace and Pete. There was this lady who was at the bar drinking, and she was like, I spent my whole life to be a journalist, and now I've done it, and I hate my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's good to find, like, something you enjoy, passion. So you're passionate about. The hard part is making money at it. I'd love to make bread. I truly would love to make bread.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to that bakery tomorrow morning. Set goals, Elijah.
Do it.
Yeah, man.
Elijah Hernandez joining me on the Homemade Broadcast this week. So you've been doing comedy, even though you don't like to admit it, for how much time? Because you're like 20, right?
I'm 20. I believe I started summer when I was 18. I went on stage the first time when I was 17, but then waited a while because I was nervous and shaky. And then I think I went on like the summer of 2014, like beginning of it. And I just haven't really missed a week since.
Yeah.
When I spent some time in D.C. for 14 months, that was wonderful because I could hit like, you know, 2-3 shows a night. But it's funny. I was talking to a couple other open micers about this, and the area is like, oh, we want to go to the hair. We want to go there. It's like we're like fiends for stage time almost. Like almost like heroin junkies. Like, oh, yeah, you can get up 4 times a night over there. But I was like, I don't know.
How many nights a week are you doing it now?
I try to go out every night of the week, but sometimes I take the night off just because, like, oh, if I go there, I have to pay or blah, blah, blah.
So you're interesting. I think you're hilarious.
Thank you.
But you always show up late.
Yeah.
You're usually the last one to go up when there's not many people there.
Right. Keeps me honest.
And you don't – I was wondering if you actually write material because it seems like you just go up and
talk. I write a lot, and I've spoken to a lot of comics about this because they tell me the same stuff. It's like I can't do a tight five because you live and die on it. So I've – you know, first year I was doing it, I was like building a tight five. I was like, okay, now I got my five, and it either destroy or it, you know, fall out of the sky like a plane with no wings. I mean, it was absolutely just a dive bomb. And I started, like, looking at, like, some of the best comics. There's this guy who mentored Chappelle in D.C. He's been there for, like, 30 years. His name's Tony Woods. You know, any comic, any headliner knows this guy. He's one of the greatest comics of all time. And he doesn't go on with a set list. He just goes on. And I heard him on one podcast. He said, I just tell the people what they want to hear. I look at them. I tell them what they want to hear. So I started really, like, just thinking about not going on with set lists and just knowing your material like the back of your hand and sort of just knowing when to do what joke and just being conversational with the crowd. Because, I mean, the best comics of all time have, like, learned to do that. And it's very hard to do, especially in crowds that are like, who's this young kid who looks like a douche, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. I feel like, you know, open mics are, you could have Louis C.K. walk into Sly Bar.
Right.
And if no one knew who he was, it would be a tough crowd for him.
Yeah, but that's what I like about open mics a lot is, like, it really keeps you honest in that way. Like, when you first start, you're like, you're very upset that no one cares.
Right.
But you learn really quickly, yeah, no one cares, so just try to be good for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try to make them laugh. That's why you showed up and why you want to do comedy anyway.
Right.
So, yeah, I've tried to compare, like, the going out with no set list thing to doing, like boxing or MMA. It's like you have to have your fundamentals there, and then you have to know how to use them. So your fundamentals are like your jokes, and then knowing when to do what is what makes you good, I think.
Yeah, because we had a decent crowd at Sly Bar last time, and didn't seem like really anybody was there to laugh.
Yeah, that happens sometimes. And it even happens in clubs where you'll be watching, and the crowds are just like, ha, ha, ha. It's always murmurs, but no one will ever, like, pop them off until, you know, like, a really good joke wins the crowd over. And sometimes it's not even the joke. Sometimes it's the person. They're like, you know what? I like this guy. Even if that's an okay joke, I'm enjoying it because
he's delivering
it to me and putting on a show. I'm like, this guy's fun to watch.
That's interesting because I had a theory that open mics, you're kind of expecting it's going to be tough to make me laugh because these are open mic comics. But even if you put those same comics, put them on a bill, on a flyer, and said this is a showcase show.
Right.
People will go to expecting the laugh, but I guess that's not always the case then, even if it's
I've
happening
heard
in a club.
People explain like, oh, since they're paying $10, they're here because they want to laugh. I think Nick Vatterott, he's a very good comic. Highly recommend his album. It's called For Your Entertainment Only, or For Your Amusement. And he made the point that sometimes people be like, you a comic? You better be funny. He's like, well, if I'm not funny, it's your loss. So why are you challenging me? Mm-hmm. He's like, if I'm not funny, it's your problem, not mine.
I've seen some of the comics get defensive.
Yeah, that happens because you're...
And it's like, yeah, it's the crowd's fault. It's not your fault.
Well, that's the thing. I'd like to believe in that theory that any crowd can be won over. I really do enjoy that theory because it gives you this kind of like awe and hope of like, oh, it's... Something could have happened where you could have won them over. And that, like, when you get defensive at a crowd, I used to have that problem a lot, and sometimes I still do it. It's because you're, it's a self-defense mechanism from bombing because you're just sitting there going, why don't they like me? Oh, it's because they suck.
Yeah.
I don't need to work harder. That's not what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said that. I forget who it was, but it was someone who was semi-new, and they were, like, angry.
Yeah.
They were like, you guys have been... Pretty terrible, really. Thanks a lot. And I was like, yeah, it's their fault.
Yeah, it's
good
their
job,
fault,
pal.
Yeah. Yeah. It's their fault you couldn't write a joke.
Yeah. Or, you know, you're right. It just doesn't – because you
translate.
Can do stuff,
yeah.
Right? And it works with some – and some it just
and
doesn't work.
And that's the thing that's infuriating the most is, like, when you're living and dying on 5 minutes, for, like, 4 months, you're just going, it's going to work great. It's going to work great. And then it just bombs. And then, like, 2 weeks later, you're like, well, it worked good then. Why didn't it work good last night? Something's missing. It's the in-the-moment thing. Have you ever been talking to anybody, and people are, like, laughing and having a good time, and then someone tells a joke? People are like, why did you? It's like the dad joke thing. It's like, you really put the brakes on this conversation.
Right, if you're
just a funny person on stage, and then, like, people are trying to be funny, people are like, he's trying so hard.
Yeah, you can definitely tell.
You do or you don't. Don't try.
When people are running bits by it, it's quite obvious.
Yeah.
And they're trying to be slick about it and act like you're not. Never, it's not fun.
No, you look at them and you just nod and you go, no, I see what you're doing.
It's pretty obvious. Yeah. But you can't really do that. I don't want to be mean either. There's a guy that, he's not even a comic, but he's just a guy that I know.
Right.
And he'll start telling jokes when you're trying to talk to him. And it's like...
Believe it, I think Louis talked about this on Mark Maron's podcast. It's called, like, the tyranny of the joke. Like, when they'd be writing scripts, they'd always be like, you gotta get a joke in here every 15 seconds.
Right.
It's like you're, won over, not won over by it, but it's always looming there, especially in sitcoms, but,
So do you want to be a comic?
Yeah.
Because I know you're doing it.
Yeah, I do.
And whenever somebody calls you a comic, you go...
Well, I'm an open micer because I could be going out harder and trying to get more work, but I guess because of my dumb artistic integrity, if you could call it that, I just don't because I'm like, I can't change what I do just to get $15.
Yeah.
I'd rather build the audience. Like, it's very stupid, but, I mean, you could look at, like, Gerard Carmichael, where he was offered a 7-year sitcom deal, and he turned it down because he's like, I don't want to be doing that for 7 years. I'd rather be doing stand-up. I'd rather be getting better at that and being honest.
Man, that's usually what people got into stand-up for, was a sitcom.
Well, Seinfeld says that, I think it was in Judd Apatow's book,
mm-hmm.
Sick in the Head. He was talking about like how many people use it as a stepping stone to get other things, and the people who do that usually aren't happy. It's like, do what you want to do.
They got a lot of money.
Yeah, they got a lot of money, but, I mean, there's nothing wrong with poverty. It makes you work harder.
Well, that's a fact. I was talking about that in the intro, actually.
Yeah, my sister, I sleep on my sister's floor. And I moved in with her because she was going through a bad time in her life, a couple bad relationships and whatnot. So I moved in with her to help her support, And she just found a really great guy, and now they're always together. And truthfully, I think they're going to ask me to move out. I'm counting the days.
Right.
But they're always improving the apartment. Like, they just painted the railing and the wall. They're putting up art all over the walls. And they keep asking me, what do you think about, do you like this here? And I got to tell them, I don't care. The more you can improve this place, the less I have to work harder to get out of it. It's like, I wouldn't want to leave if it was super nice. If there was holes in the wall and cockroaches running through it, I'd be like, I better work my ass off,
know? Yeah, that's true. It's humbling to, like, I think Hannibal Buress,
he slept on the train.
Do stand up and watch homeless people masturbate, and it made him the man he is today. Now he's very successful.
It makes you, it puts everything in perspective where you're like, Okay, I should probably get out of this situation.
What I noticed, too, is there's only going to be, I think you have confirmation bias a lot when you see Hannibal's story and you see...
Right, there's something very romantic about being like, I'm just going to move to New York. I'm just going to do it. And I think about that weekly, and it's just like, I have plenty of money, pardon me, I have plenty of money saved up to do it, but it's the matter of doing it. But there's something very romantic about making a mistake. I think it leads to a more fulfilling life, full of challenges and gained wisdom, but you still got to go out there and do it.
I think, though, that it's more important to be the big fish in a small pond. And then when you've outgrown your pond, then you can think about going to a bigger pond.
Yeah, Bernie Mac.
Yeah. Is that what he said?
Well, no, that's what Bernie Mac did. He was running shows in Chicago. He was like, he was an entertainer. So Bernie Mac the Entertainer was more like, you know, he put on suits and he'd have a live band behind him at a show. And he'd be like, look at this shirt. I love this shirt. And he's like talking about this jersey. Had Shaq sign this jersey. You got to watch the documentary. It's great. But yeah, he was an absolute entertainer. And, you know, like the first couple competitions he did, he like won. And he was just a local hero. People were like, I'm going to Bernie Mac show tonight. People were like, what?
Yeah. That's the way to do it, man. I really believe that. Because if you're going in blind like that, you are going to have a lot of competition that are really good.
You're relying a lot on the scene to want you to succeed.
Well, and it's your own. Hannibal Buress did this. It's romantic. I'm going to do it, too. I'm going to struggle.
Yeah, Carmichael went to L.A., and, you know, 4 years later, people are like, he's the next Chappelle.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
But did even he, though, was he a nobody in his town when he left?
Yeah. He left North Carolina, and he moved to L.A.
But he wasn't anybody in North Carolina.
He was working at a shoe store.
All right, so that's cool, but that's one guy.
Yeah,
and now we got two guys out of the
outliers.
They're freaks. Yeah. That doesn't happen to everybody.
All right, no.
So yeah, you gotta. So what's your plan? What's your 5-year plan?
I don't have a 5-year plan. I don't even have a 5-week plan. I live day to day, and it's stressful.
What do you do for? What's your day job?
I'm currently unemployed right now. I'm putting in applications.
Okay.
Sister's boyfriend's trying to get me a job. His old job at the Ringling Museum in Sarasota, which would be cool.
Man, it's a hike, though.
That or the bread store right up the street, man.
Bread.
I said I'm doing that tomorrow. I'm doing it tomorrow.
You can master bread making. Yeah. It's good to have a trade.
It's extremely good.
That would be my advice. Anybody who's thinking about going to college in 2016?
Yeah, get a
think
trade.
Think about getting a trade instead. Yeah. Work for
you know, electricians, like, they can't hire enough, like, electricians and, like, even welders.
Right.
You can make 6 figures.
Yes.
In a, you know, with a 2-year degree.
Yep.
If you just decide to do that, be like, no, I want to get into art.
And like, that's cool. Like, I think that's cool. But you have to make that a hobby, and you have to support yourself.
You do, yeah.
Eminem worked in the GM factory.
Yeah.
And then they paid off for him. But you can't, I think people are so, like, I was talking to my dad. I said this in the intro. I gotta think about quitting my job and sinking everything into my business. That's great.
Yeah.
You're 56. You're 15 years away from retirement. You're going to blow your savings on a gamble.
Yeah.
And 7 out of 10 businesses fail.
Well, that's the thing. There's something romantic about putting it all out there. It's like, I don't know what it is, but people love to think like that. Like, I could do it. I know I can do it. And I think one of our friends, he just moved to Oregon, Nathan Hart.
Oh, Nathan, sure.
I think he's driving there right now as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Best wishes to you out there, buddy.
Yep.
Much love. He owned a head shop when he was like 20.
Right.
And he said he just sunk all his money into it. And he's like, yeah, now I'm in debt. So.
Yep. That's a bad thing. You got to make your work on your business until you can afford to quit and then rely on the business. All right, man, we got to get out of here.
Well, that was it. That was the whole thing.
That was the whole thing.
Well, I had a blast, man.
I would record extra time, but I got to head to Sly Bar now.
Oh, well, yes, we do. Got to go tell
jokes. So you don't have any social media promote or anything?
I mean, you could find me on Gig Salad if you want me to tell jokes at a birthday party. But
you can find Elijah at Sly Bar every second and fourth.
Elijah Henry on Facebook.
On Tuesday.
I take the last name out because I'm He'll a ghost, be there. Baby.
Like 11 o'clock at night. There. Yeah. Elijah, thanks for coming in, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You can find me on hmbradio.com, home_made_man on Twitter. Have a great week. Talk to you later. Oh, yeah, Yard of Vale. Open mic every Thursday. I forgot to mention that. Thursday, 10 to midnight, Yard of Vale, St. Pete.